Hello?
Hello. We're going to wait a few more minutes till I think we're waiting for a couple more people. Then we'll get started. This is Melissa here.
Hi, Melissa. This is Petra. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hi.
I'm just going to listen in because I'm not even up to this chapter yet, just to let you know. I emailed.
Okay, sure. That's no problem at all.
Yeah.
It will just be a good to get a sense of it, and I won't be asking you questions.
Okay, great. Yeah. My father has dementia, and so he was having an episode today, so I haven't even studied all day. So I'll be really good. I'm real good with that when it comes to that chapter, so...
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. Okay, we're waiting for one more person here. We'll get started shortly. All right, well, I think we'll get started and hopefully the others join soon. So welcome everyone to this session on Allen Cognitive Levels and the Ranchos Levels. My name is Melissa and I am a tutor with PASS COT. And hopefully after this session you can have a better understanding of the ACLs and Ranchos Levels because I know it can be a lot. So do you guys have a copy of the outline that I put together? Did you get a hold of that?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Good. So before we jump right in, I'm wondering who would like to be called on during the session. I'll ask you questions.
Not really, but I mean, yeah.
I mean, like, here's the thing. If you don't know the answer, don't worry about it. That's what this is for, right? So, I mean, you can give it your best shot and... And, I mean, if you try to answer the question, that could maybe help your studying a little bit to help process it. So, I mean, you know, like I said, I don't want to put you on the spot, but no worries about getting the wrong answer.
Okay.
What's your name? Sorry.
Petra. Sorry.
Okay, Petra. No, that's okay. Okay, Petra. And how about you, Michelle?
No, I'm good. No, I'm sorry.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I said no, I'm good.
Okay. Okay.
I was also I didn't receive the packet that you sent out. The outline, I'm sorry.
Oh, the okay. Let's see here. I think what you can do is, so if you go to the PASS COT website, and you know how there's that chat that in the corner, there's that chat bubble,
mm-hmm.
Type in the chat and say that you don't have the outline for the session, and then I think you'll get it that way. Let me know if you have problems. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
And then Deborah, what about you? Do you want me to ask you some questions throughout the session?
No.
Okay.
Based on what I told you earlier. Yeah.
Oh, is that okay? That was you. Okay, right. I wasn't sure if that was
yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's okay.
Well, anyways, we'll get started here. So, we're first going to talk about Allen Cognitive Levels and the Allen Cognitive Level Screen. Okay. So, what these levels are classification system of function based on cognitive performance. So basically what that means is they give us a really specific idea of what people's abilities are, right? So we determine that they're at a certain level, and it tells us, okay, this is what we can expect from how they're going to act, and then this is what we could do for treatment sessions. This gives us an idea of how, you know, can they live alone? So a lot of specifics about how they're functioning, okay? So the Allen Cognitive Level Screening Test is a tool very commonly used in practice. It's the leather lacing test. So have you guys seen that before, any of you in your field work?
Yes.
I have.
Yeah, okay, good. So that's what we're going to talk about for a little bit now. So it's connected to the Allen cognitive levels, okay, and it's based on those. So what that is, it's a standardized screening. So it's a functional assessment that helps us determine a person's cognitive level, okay? So there's three different leather lacing tasks, and then throughout, while we're talking about the levels, we're going to be showing how those are connected to the different levels. So this was originally developed for use with adults with psychiatric disorders or for adults with dementia, so, you know, think TBI, CBA, but more broadly, it's generally just used for people whose function is impaired because of cognitive deficit, okay? So, again, I want you to think more broadly to include, like, developmental disability, schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, chronic depression, substance use, PTSD, okay? So, I mean, you know, it's, again, whose function is impaired because of cognitive deficit, okay? So yeah, I just want you to know the connection between the Allen Cognitive Level Screening Test and the Allen Cognitive Levels, okay? So they're connected, and we're going to get into that more. So, all right, so getting into the specific level, so there are six levels in Allen Cognitive Levels, okay? So I know, Petra, you said you would be open to me asking you questions. Don't worry, I'm not going to do the whole session, but do you want to give a shot at what the first level is?
I thought there were five levels.
So there are six levels. Now, level six is basically no impairment, impairment. So
right.
Maybe that's what you're thinking is, like, there's five levels that, you know, have an identifiable cognitive impairment. The six is basically, I guess you'd say, normal functioning.
Right. Okay. So the first level is just about awareness?
Right, exactly, yeah. So automatic action. So this person at level one, they're aware, but hardly, I mean, that's it, right? They're just running on automatic, right? Their behavior is mostly reflexive, okay? So at this level, they are total assist on the FIM level, and they can only attend for seconds, okay? So for this, as far as what we do as OTs, not a lot, right? I mean, there isn't much we can do. But the big thing we can do is sensory stimulation, okay? So if they're somewhat aware or somewhat alert, we wanna work with that and try to get them even more alert, okay? So what you want to be thinking about is, okay, what specific things could I do to try to get them more alert? So we want to be thinking about, okay, let's try things that have a strong scent, okay? So, for example, cinnamon and lavender. We'd probably want to go with the cinnamon because if you think about it, that's going to make them more alert, more aroused, other than the lavender might make them more sleepy, right? So, and then in another sense, right, we could do a kind of a brushing task, right? We could do quick brushing. That would probably get them more alert than calm, slow strokes. Right? So with level one, we want to be thinking, okay, yeah, sensory stimulation, but also asking ourselves what kind of sensory stimulation and what are we trying to have, you know, what do we want out of the patient? Okay. So level two is postural action. Okay. So now this person is able to complete gross motor actions. Okay. So they can imitate gross motor actions. They are now at a maximum assist level for the FIM levels, okay? So they went from being, you know, 100%, the caregiver needed to help 100%, now it's about 75%, okay? They really can't do much, but they can just do a little bit more. So for this one here, I mean, they can only attend for minutes, right? So they still have very minimal attention. At level two, they're now becoming more of a safety risk for wandering. But the biggest thing you want to think with level two is now they can do gross motor tasks, right? They can, you know, if you say raise your arm, like they'd be able to do that, okay? So that being said, okay, so as OTs, what could we do with them? Well, we probably want to get them moving, right? If they can do that, let's do it. So a movement or an exercise group, right, based on imitation, where like you carry out certain movements and they imitate you. You might try a transfer, right? You might try a stand pivot transfer to the toilet. So you're gonna you know, do those kinds of things. Okay. So now we go up to level three.
Can I just clarify something real quick?
Yeah, please do.
So you just said, you know, possibly like an exercise group for them, but they're not really independent enough to do that, are they?
Right. So I see what you're saying, right? Like if you picture like bringing them out to, you know, but let's think this, right? A person at level two, they could probably, you know, with assistance, right, transfer into a wheelchair, and maybe you take their wheelchair to like the rec, you know, the rec room or like maybe the therapy room. And then you start, you know, having them just, like, raise their arms, right, bend their elbows. So can you see how that would work?
Yeah, like a seated exercise where it's very
right,
simple
maybe.
And they're just, yeah.
Exactly. And, I mean, they are, I mean, by level, you know, so 2.4 and 2.6, like, they're doing more walking, okay? So I don't want you to think that they can't move at all. They are
right.
able to do for more walking. It's just they have a lot of confusion.
Okay.
So
okay.
They probably need to be directed a lot, but physically, yeah, they could move in that sense. So I
okay.
hope that answers your question. So
yeah, thanks. That helps.
Okay. So level three, manual actions. Okay. So now with level three, we've moved past just the gross motor, and now we're able to do fine motor tasks, okay? So I want you to think manual actions, it's about manual dexterity, okay? So they can hold something in their hand, they can look at it, right? They can use their hands to manipulate objects. So here, they still lack that awareness of cause and effect, right? They don't know how to comprehend, okay, like this is, I'm doing this towards a goal, but they can do repetitive tasks, okay? And they rely heavily on tactile cues, right? So if you think about how if they have something in their hand, right, they're doing a craft, it's in their hand, they can feel it, and they can do a repetitive task. So here, they can attend for about 30 minutes, and they're a moderate assist on the FIM level. Notice how we just keep going down one level. So for this, kind of what I was saying, right, you want to do repetitive tasks with them. So maybe like a simple craft. We probably want to try doing more ADLs, right? So we might lay their clothes out for them and then help them through each step of the dressing task, right? Okay, here's your shirt, here's your pants. Because they can't, you know, plan and go through all the steps. They can't do multiple steps. They probably need help with each step, but they can start doing those ADLs, okay? So any questions so far? No? Okay. So that was manual actions. Okay. So now this is where I want to bring in the Allen Cognitive Level Screening Test. Okay. So there, like I said, there's three different stitches that need to be completed. So if a person is at level three, they are now able to complete the running stitch. Okay. So let's say you complete the assessment with someone and they can't complete the running stitch. Then you can think, okay, they aren't at a level three. Let's try to find some other cognitive tool that maybe tests their cognition, but we know that they weren't able to do this, probably not at a level three, okay? So level three is the running stitch. It's the most basic. Okay, so level four, Petra, can you tell me something about level four?
I'm getting them confused because I thought level four had more with, well, sequencing is different than repetitive movement. So, yeah, I don't know.
Sequencing, right, were you saying that sequencing, you could sequence at level four?
Yeah, but I guess I'm just getting that confused with repetitive motions. So sequencing is a step up, yeah.
Exactly, right. That's, you know, you're on the right track, right? So three, right, they could really just do repetitive tasks. Now at level four, right, they can do sequencing because they can now do 2 to 3 steps, right, to get to an end goal, to complete a task. Okay, so level four is goal-directed actions.
Goal-directed, yeah.
Right, so goal-directed actions. So now they're relying heavily on visual cues, okay? So they rely heavily on visual cues, and now they require minimum assist for familiar activities. Okay, they probably need more of an assist for new learning because at level four, right, they cannot yet do new learning, not yet complete new learning. Now, level 4.6 is when a person may live alone with daily checks, okay? So here, I mean, for OTs, right, now, you know, whereas level three, we were mainly thinking, okay, let's help them through an ADL routine or maybe a dressing task. Now we could have them, you know, prepare a sandwich, right? You know, they'd probably be able to go through the steps of that visually, be able to see what they're doing. So that's something we could do with them there. So level five, okay, now we're at exploratory actions. The big thing with level five is now there's new learning, okay? So they're now able to, you know, through trial and error problem solving, they can, you know, learn something new, do more of a complex task. However, they have poor organization, poor planning, and then poor socialization, okay? So at level 5.2, they could live alone with weekly checks, okay?
So now... Sorry, did you say at level 4 they could live alone with daily checks?
So 4.6, okay?
They can live alone with daily checks.
Daily checks, right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because if you think about it, I mean, 4.6, they're able to do, you know, they can complete tasks, but if something new comes up, right, if something unexpected comes up, they wouldn't know what to do. That's
right.
Why you want that daily check, right, to just check on them, you know, okay, maybe they broke a glass, right, like probably want to check on that, right? Level 5.2, now they can get by, you know, once a week. They can do that much more. They can do that many more IADLs, okay?
Okay.
Now, as far as the ACLS, so the screening we were talking about, so at level, so we said level three, they could complete the running stitch, okay? It, you know, they're level three if they can complete the running stitch three times. Level four, now it's the whip stitch, okay? They can complete that one. And then for level five, they can imitate the single Cordovan stitch, right, using trial and error. Okay, so I just want to connect those, right, because those do come up on the test. So, and then like we talked about before, level six, right, planned actions. So this is like, you know, like you and I, right, so we can plan for the future, right, we can think, okay, this is in the past, now we're going to, you know, kind of change our past actions, right, we're going to, you know, plan for the future, we can think of the whole picture, okay? So now we're cruising right along here. Anyone have questions on ACL before we switch to Ranchos? I know it's a lot.
You said something about is connected on the test. What were you meaning by that?
Well, I was talking about, like, the Allen Cognitive Level Screening Test.
Right.
I was talking about the different stitches and what stitches are connected to what levels. Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay, okay, good. And I was okay, just saying so that the Allan Cunningham levels is really, like, I mean, and the NBCOT, they love these, okay, which is why, you know, like, this is definitely just like a crash course, right? You want to look at it further, but hopefully you can just kind of start thinking about what you would do in these for with patients who are at these different levels, okay?
Okay, so
the
it's
second part of this, it is important to know, right? And so the reason why I'm just cruising right along is because for, you know, the second half of the session, I want to go over some questions so you guys can see, you know, how they'll be included, like just an example of how they're going to be included in questions. So,
okay,
so now we're going to switch gears and go to Rancho's level, okay? So I know it's really easy to get confused between ACLs and Ranchos, but you do, I mean, you do want to try to keep them separate. Now, they're similar in that they, right, they both reflect, like, cognition, right, and how someone, you know, with cognitive impairments is functioning, okay? So, but the Ranchos levels, so it refers to thinking and memory skills, and it's an evaluation tool used to describe the typical stages seen after a brain injury, okay? This helps, you know, the treatment team understand the person's abilities and what you can do for treatment, okay? So this is kind of the background of Rancho's level, right? So think originally like TBI, this would be the, you know, typical progression, you know, in rehab. However, of course, people may certain, you know, stop at certain levels and then they don't go any higher, okay? So there are 10 levels. However, we'll focus on levels 1 through 8, right? That's where you see most of the impairment. Now, I'm just going to do a quick kind of lumping of them into three categories. So if anything else, try to keep them, you know, think of them this way. So levels 1 through 3, they require total assist, okay? So I want you to think 1 through 3, I mean, they're not doing much at all, right? That's I mean, low motor movement, delayed response. Okay, so total assist. Levels 4 through 6 is about confusion. They're confused. They're not goal-oriented, okay? It's going to be very difficult getting them to participate in treatment. Now, levels 7 and 8, that's where you see the new learning, okay? They can learn new things. They're doing a lot more in treatment. You know, they're being more independent, okay? All right, so level 1, no response, okay? So this is basically comatose. Right. So here, I mean, we're not going to be doing much, right? We're going to be doing passive range of motion, right? Keep them moving a little bit, probably splinting and positioning. And here, I mean, you could try sensory stimulation, but honestly, they probably wouldn't respond much, right? I mean, they're basically in a coma, right? So not much. Level 2 is where you see a generalized response, okay? So still total assist, but what you're seeing here with that generalized response, what that means is, so they're, it's an inconsistent, non-purposeful response, right? So they might, you know, like if you hit their knee, they might twitch, but then if you, you know, you do something else, they might twitch, right? You're going to have just regular responses, okay? They may open their eyes if they hear a familiar voice. You know, they're responding a little bit more than in level 1. So here, I mean, kind of similar to before, passive range of motion, splinting and positioning, definitely want to try some sensory stimulation, right? So same kind of strategies that I was talking about with, you know, sensory stimulation previously, okay? Level 3, okay, localized response, okay? Now, so there's still total assist, but now they're able to more specifically respond to different types of stimuli, okay? So, for example, they might respond to discomfort by pulling at tubes or restraints. They may blink from the light. They may turn their head to see, you know, their like, say, their significant others came to visit them. They hear their voice. They turn their head. They may open their eyes to see them. Okay. Level 3, now they may be able to respond to a simple command, right? So you might say to them, if you want to brush your teeth, squeeze my hand. Okay. Notice a very simple command. Try that, okay? So now at level 3, they may be able to track moving objects, okay? So these give you ideas for what you'd want to do for treatment, okay? So what I mean by that is if they're now able to track objects, let's do that in treatment. That's practice, you know, tracking objects, right, moving the pencil, having them track it, auditory tracking activities, right, kind of following the sound. You also might want to still be doing the sensory stimulation. At this point, you might need to start thinking about restraints, like adaptations for safety, if they're trying to, you know, get out of bed. So those kinds of things, okay. All right, so level 4, confused, agitated, okay. So now, at this point, they're in an alert and in a heightened state, okay. This is where it is very difficult to carry out treatment, okay. So level 4 is just, it's very difficult for to get them to cooperate, okay. They are, I mean, basically unable to cooperate in treatment efforts because of their, you know, agitation. They can be aggressive. They have a super short attention span, okay? I mean, we're talking seconds. So for someone at level 4, I want you to kind of picture a scene where you have your patient, they're a TBI, and, you know, they hit their caregiver during a bathing task, okay? So I want you to think about that, right? They're trying to, you know, that's the kind of person we're talking about, right? They're aggressive, they're confused, they don't know where they are. So as far as what we do, like I said, we're going to do the best we can. It's going to be tough, but we're going to try different things. What we might try are like simple reaching tasks, right? Simple cognitive activities, right? Such as point to the comb, right? Point to your glasses. Maybe a very simple task like, you know, can you wash your face, right? You bring like a basin to them and then they try washing their face. Very simple, right? Doesn't last long. You want to have a simple routine for them, right? You want to use a calm voice because we know they're going to be overwhelmed. So, you know, just think about, like I said, just for level 4, let's picture that agitated, you know, acting out, right? Like tries to hit his caregiver, okay? Level 5, okay, confused, inappropriate, non-agitated, okay? So here they are alert. This is where the wandering starts, okay? So now they're going to be wandering around. This is the person who's, you know, confused, trying to go home, says, okay, yeah, I'm going home. I want you to think of, think of the naked man running in the hallway looking for the door to go home, right? Notice how that's different from level 4, right? So now we're talking about just they're inappropriate in their right behavior, right? And also in their object use. So they might pick up a comb and try to brush their teeth with it, okay? So just inappropriate behaviors. So now they can attend for a few minutes, okay? So a little bit more, but they're still not oriented. They're still not able to learn new information at level 5. So here, now this is where we might try to, you know, start doing active range of motion, right? They can probably participate more. Simple reaching tasks, simple, fine motor tasks. Of course, at this point, right, you might need to get a bed alarm if there's the wandering going on. Just trying to keep them organized, right? So filling in their gaps in memory, you know, explaining to them, you know, where they are, who you are, those kinds of things, okay? So level 6, so confused, appropriate, okay? So now, I mean, now they're acquiring about moderate assist. So now they have more awareness and attention. They can consistently follow simple directions, okay? They can attend to a task for about 30 minutes, right? So at level 5, it was minutes only. Now it's about 30 minutes, okay? So now I want you to picture someone, let's say a lady with a TBI. She can complete her morning routine with setup help and a visual schedule, okay? So she's now able to do certain, you know, simple ABLs, maybe able to wash hands with supervision. Of course, they would need a lot of assistance with something new, right? So what we would do, I mean, some examples. So more activities, right, for physical conditioning, right? So maybe therapeutic exercises, but also, of course, cognitive activities. So short-term memory exercises, simple sequencing tasks. We said, you know, ADLs would be really good. Here at level 6, we might be able to try simple cold meal prep. Right, simple, familiar housekeeping tasks, right, very simple, okay. So any questions so far? I know I'm powering through. I know this is like really intense. So are you guys still with me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So, Petra, I know I haven't called on you in a while. Do you want to give a shot at anything you know about level 7?
Just that it's more automatic. But
exactly. And that's honestly, if there's it's automatic and appropriate, but I do want you guys to be thinking about automatic. I want you to think about someone on autopilot. I want you to think of a robot. Level 7 is like a robot, okay? So now they can complete new learning, but they're very automatic about it, okay? So they're now oriented to person and place when in a very familiar environment. They can complete basic ADLs independently, but, you know, thinking how they're like a robot, right? If something unexpected came about, if something happened that wasn't like, you know, the norm, they wouldn't know what to do, okay? They're also like a robot in that they're unaware of other people's needs and feelings. They don't know appropriate social behavior. They can't think of consequences for their actions, okay? So they might not remember, you know, like I said, if a certain issue arises, you know, if suddenly they don't have any more socks left, right, they're trying to get dressed, like they wouldn't know what to do. They couldn't solve that problem. So, I mean, as far as what you would do, some ideas. So now, you know, we might be trying simple cooking tasks, right, with direct supervision probably. Basic home maintenance tasks, you know, having them set up with a set schedule and like a self-care routine, they could follow that. Probably still doing short-term memory exercises, okay? So, and these are ideas, right? Like, this isn't all of them, but this just gets you thinking of kind of like the slight differences as the levels go up, okay? So, so like I said, it's level 7. It is new learning, but they're very rigid in their thinking, right? Level 8, okay.
New learning, but not problem solving.
Right. New learning, but automatic, right? So, like I said, I mean, like, they can learn new things, but, I mean, if certain unexpected things happen, they wouldn't really know what to do, okay?
Yeah.
And like I said, don't know the consequences for their actions, you know, don't know how to behave, you know, socially, that kind of thing. So now level 8, okay, so now they're oriented to person, place, and time. They can modify the plan when needed with minimal assist, right? So that's a big difference from 8 and 7, right? They can now modify their plan. They can change what they were doing. Okay, so now this kind of person, level 8, I want you to think of this, right? So their long-term memory and their short-term memory is intact, but they still might write down their grocery list, right? They still are probably going to be using certain, you know, adaptive aids, right, like visual, like a wall calendar, a pill organizer, right, to help them take their medications. So level 8, you could think of, you know, an elderly woman, right, she's got her medications in her pill organizer, and that's how she keeps track of it, okay? So level 8, you know, someone might be irritable, argumentative, more self-centered, okay, so they may have poor judgment in new situations. Okay, and so like I said, I mean, for what we would do, right, we want to show them how to use the different memory aids. We probably want to have them do higher level cognitive activities. And I mean, here, this people level 8, they could be working, right? So you might be showing them work simplification techniques, energy conservation techniques, right? So that kind of thing, okay? And then, so level 9, we're not going to talk about level 9 and 10 too much. Level 9, you can kind of think they just need a standby assist to adjust task demands. Okay, so for example, they probably need help with more like complex finance type tasks or money management. Okay, level 9, they are aware of their limitations. Okay, so that's the difference from level 9 versus 8. They are aware of their limitations. Okay. And then level 10, we can basically think modified independent. They can determine the consequences for their actions. You know, they may need extra time to solve problems, but they know that, so they can plan for that, okay? So this is like, a lady who had a TBI. She's going back to work. She works in, you know, an office. She knows that she needs to have a 3-minute, like, or let's say 10-minute nap halfway throughout the day, and that's what she needs, and she knows that, and she can plan for that, okay? So level 10, right? I mean, you might just still have them use certain memories, alarms, timers, certain safety things with IDL, such as driving, okay? So that's Ranchos. So now I want to spend the rest of the time just going over some questions, okay? And so now we're going to refer to Section 2 of the outline. So this is like a crash course in breaking down questions, okay? Like very quick. So when you look at a question, okay, you want to obviously, I mean, read the question very carefully, and you want to find like the key word to determine what the question is asking, right? Because there's a lot of information that's just extra information, right? So what are the key words? So, I mean, where are we at in the OT process, right? Like, what are we doing right now? Okay, what is the diagnosis? But I want you to make sure you know what are the specific symptoms relating to the diagnosis, right? Okay, what stage of the disease? But in this case, too, right, what level of cognition, what ACL are they at, what Ranchos level? Did I, you know, and you want to make sure you read the level correctly, because I've had students who they misread the level, so then, of course, they won't get the right answer because they're not even looking at the right level, okay? What's the practice setting? So you want to look at all these things and find the key pieces, okay? Then you want to just in your head summarize what the question is really asking, okay? And then when you select your answer, you want to kind of go through a checklist in your head and make sure your answer meets all the requirements that I've listed. Okay, so like it's got to be safe. It has to be, right? It has to be ethical. You want it to be client-centered and functional. And it should apply to the, you know, where we're at in the OT process, right? What the setting is. Like, would you actually do that if they're an inpatient, or is that something you do in a community role, right? Okay, and then one big one is, does it apply to the specific symptoms identified in the question, okay? That happens a lot. So, you know, you see someone who has like a CVA, right? Or, you know, someone who has maybe like a TBI, right? And, you know, oh, like I saw this one person on field work who had, you know, this one problem, so that's probably what's the case in this question. No, right? What is in the question? What specific symptom is in the question, right? Okay, and then, you know, you want to make sure that they're actively participating, right? The OT is acting therapeutically. These are things you really just want to start thinking about. So, that being said, we're going to go through some questions that apply to what we've been talking about, and we're going to try to, you know, apply these principles and just go through them, okay? So, someone who wants to take a stab at the first question, and I mean, like, you know, don't worry if you get it wrong. That's what this is about, okay? So anyone who wants to give it a shot? Anybody? No?
Well, okay, so I'll take a shot. This is Petra.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so... Yeah, so do you see question one, right?
Yeah.
The patient with borderline personality disorder. So have you read the question?
Yeah.
Okay. So kind of going off what I was saying, you know, these are some key things you want to be pulling out of here, okay? They have borderline personality disorder, right?
Right.
And her issue she's talking about, it's like, okay, family issues, work-related issues, kind of feeling
right.
out of control.
So
okay,
so
we're going to combine. Yeah, exactly, right? And she's at a level 5, exploratory actions. So we need to choose something that addresses all that, okay? So looking at our options, what would address, you know, her issues considering she's a level 5?
A.
Well, so yeah, I really have a, I mean, there's a part, yeah, I'm confused because there's a, the basic self-care activity that focuses on establishing a structured routine. I feel like, you know, the structured routine would really help. But then the whole thing of the coping skills in a group that addresses a variety of adaptive strategies. So those are the two that I was going with. And I just,
Okay, right. So, no, I mean, you're definitely on the right track. So, So if you think about, she's at a level five, which we know, right, exploratory actions, that's a new learning. So, I mean, like, she's doing pretty well as far as, like, if you think about cognitively, she'd be able to do, like, her ADLs, right? Like, we can, it doesn't actually mention any issues with ADL functioning. Talking about more the socialization piece. So you want to think about, okay, what could help address that socialization piece?
Okay, well, then definitely C.
Right, right, exactly. So it is C, okay? The answer is C. So so C, I want you to see how it's perfect for this person because, so it's a good one for a level five, okay? Because it's allowing her to improve her socialization skills and allow for maybe higher level cognitive learning, okay? Whereas other options, okay, so let's look at, so A, that's someone who, like, more level four, right? So, see, structured craft activity requires three steps. That's key, right? Remember, they can you know, complete something up to three steps. But if we even pick that one, that wouldn't address her issues with work and, you know, socializing, right? And if we look at B, it doesn't really mention self-care problems, right? It doesn't mention that. So, C, it definitely does. We talk about that. Okay.
So self-care is really more talking ADLs then.
So, right. So, a basic self-care activity, right. We can think that, yeah, like it's lower level, okay?
Yeah.
That'd be like
a
level three or a four, but not a five.
Yeah.
A five, we're thinking IADLs and, you know, socializing, relationships, and especially considering the diagnosis, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So, right, because you want to think about, like, what's going to be a challenge. Like, we always want to challenge them where they're at, right? We don't want anything too easy, okay?
Right.
So I hope that kind of, like, makes some sense. But I want you to see how C is a perfect fit for the level five. It's a perfect fit for her diagnosis, and it's a perfect fit, for her issues she's identified, her own issues, right? So it's a perfect client-centered option. All right, so let's go on to two. So for two, anyone want to try to take a stab at this one? This one is tricky. I know it is. I mean, I picked the hardest of the hard questions, guys. So, I mean, don't. These are tough. I know, okay?
Well, this one actually I thought was easier. But maybe I've
got a problem. Okay, well, I mean, that's, usually people see like a 3.6 and freak. So that's, I mean, good. I'm glad. Okay. I mean, if you want to try to, you know, go through this one, you certainly can, or just give me thoughts about it.
Well, okay. I mean, if anyone else wants to go, I don't want to take away from them.
I'm not hearing much, so I think you can probably go for it.
So I thought A.
Okay, so A.
Because the person was working with, what, sanding the box. So it's very repetitive, and they keep rotating and looking at all the surfaces after they sand in the box, but then they don't know what to do next.
Okay. So with this one here, okay, so I'll fill you in. The answer is D, actually, okay?
Okay.
And this one, it's but we're going to break it down, and you're going to understand, okay? So
okay.
this is an example of a question where you need to, like, microanalyze all parts of the responses, okay? And, you know, you'll see how responses can have two pieces, and you want to make sure both pieces meet the requirements of the question. So here we're talking about 3.6. So we know level 3, okay? So level 3 is just about, like, they're just grasping objects, okay? That they could, you know, turn, they could hold a box and look at it, and that's about it, okay? I mean, at level 3, they can't do much. They could move the box around, okay? And maybe do a bit of sanding. So if we look at that and say, okay, so that's what 3 is. So 3.6 is, you know, getting closer to 4. At this point, we know they can only do one step. Sorry, with 3, they're doing something one step at a time. But because they're relying on the tactile cues, they miss anything they can't see, they're going to miss, okay, right? Like, you know, they're not aware of, okay, like, yeah, I'm missing a certain part of this. It's about what they can feel in their hands, okay? So that's getting to, like, the 3.6. So now if we get into a level 4, right, so now we know that they're more aware of tangible cues, and they're also more aware of their, like, what they can see. So now 4, right, anything that's clearly visible, they're gonna say, oh, yeah, like this one side I haven't even done yet. But unless they completely turn around the block, inspect every side, they'll likely miss spot, okay? And then, you know, at level 4, like, so we're going to jump up to, you know, let's say a 4.6. 4.6 is where, so actually that would be A. Someone at 4.6 is able to say, okay, like, I'm going to rotate this box, I'm going to examine all the surfaces, make sure, you know, I've done everything. They're able to do that, okay? Whereas someone at a 3.6, which would be D, right, they may miss all or part of the visible surface, right? Because remember, they don't have that attention to the visual cues yet, right? It's all about the tactile and all about what they're feeling in their hands, okay?
Yeah.
So if we look here, what I'm going to do is, like, we're going to go through it and we're going to label each one, okay? So, like I said, A is a 4.6. They're able to rotate, examine, look at it, say, hey, am I even done this, right? They can do that at 4.6. So now B is someone at a 3, okay? Right, look, they're reaching for the box, they're holding it, and they're identifying it. That's it, right? That's all it says. Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay, that's pretty, pretty basic. So that's about a 3.0. Now, if you look at C, okay, they sanded, the surfaces in plain sight, but they're missing the small or hidden areas. So that's like a 4, okay, because they can see most of it, right? You know, now they're responding to those visual cues. They can see the block in general, and they do a pretty good job, but at 4, they're not able to nitpick and check each, you know, each corner, okay? And then, like I said, with D, 3.6, okay, they're able to copy it one step at a time, right? That's, we know that about 3. And then they may miss all or part of the visible surface, okay? So what you want to do with a question like this is really think about, like, they're all similar, right? They're all talking about this craft, right, the sanding activity. But what are the differences, right? And you need to ask yourself, you know, what is someone at 3.6? Like, think, okay, they're kind of like halfway between a 3 and a 4, right? They're halfway between just being able to manually hold a box and between a 4, right, when they can, you know, complete a task using the visual cues. So any questions on that? Like, I know that is specific, but that's why you need to, like, you know, just really analyze the options.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, but it's, I mean, like, the hints are in there, okay? And I always tell people, like, the hints are in the question, they're in the answers, you need to find them, right? So you need to find those keywords. So, okay, so anyways, moving on to 3, Anyone have any guesses at what three is or want to try that one?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. I mean, Petra, if you want to take a break, I can just go through this one if you want to do it, you can. It's up to you.
No, I'll let you go through it.
Okay. So this is where we're talking about the ACLS, right? So the Allan-Conville screen, okay? So the patient is able to imitate the whip stitch and complete three stitches, okay? So remember I said that to complete, so for the Allan-Conville screen, there's three different stitches, okay? There's the running stitch. So if a person can complete three running stitches, they're at a level three. If a person can complete three whip stitches, they're at a level four. And if a person can complete three single cordovan stitches, they're at a level five, okay? So this one, we see, okay, that they can complete three whip stitches, so they're a level four, okay? So, I mean, that one is, you know, if you know the different stitches and what that means, then yeah, level four, okay? All right, so question four, any takers here? Anybody? I hope I haven't scared you guys. I hope you guys are still there. Oh, boy.
No, it's good. I actually got the last one right. But
okay, good. Okay. Okay, so for four, all right, so Alan, I mean, he has a TBI. He's attending an outpatient rehab program, right? His family's taking care of his needs at night. Currently functioning at Arancho's level eight. Okay, so this is another thing I always say. If they just have the Roman numerals, you want to be sure you're reading it right. You know, and I know for me too, it's like, gosh, how many like L's are there? How many ones, right? So there's three. So it's a level eight, okay? So they're functioning at a level eight, so purposeful, appropriate. So already going to be starting to think, you know, a level eight, right? That's fairly high up on the list, okay? But, so what are his difficulties? So he's having some difficulty with reasoning, judgment, and he becomes easily frustrated, okay? As part of Alan's OT intervention plan, he will be participating in a cognitive rehabilitation group, okay? So which goal is most beneficial for Alan to achieve at this stage of his recovery? Okay, so let's go through the list. So structure and guidance for sustained attention to task. Seems like he's past the point of like having problems with attention, right? He's got some more higher level problems, right? Higher level difficulties. So not really thinking much there, okay? B, increasing self-awareness of behavior and performance with feedback from other peers. Okay, so in my head, I'm running through a checklist, right? I'm thinking, that could be challenging and appropriate for someone at a level eight, right? That would actually be something we would do in a cognitive rehabilitation group, so that's right. Looking promising. That's something that would be client-centered for him. So this one so far is meeting all those requirements that I have, right? So yeah. Let's go on to C. Performance tasks. Perform tasks under specified time constraints and stressful conditions. I mean, that's definitely, yeah, stressful time or stressful conditions, specified time constraints. That could maybe put him over the edge, might be too much. Other thing is, would you do that in a cognitive rehabilitation group? Don't know, kind of weird. Okay. D, to develop insight regarding strengths and weaknesses through the use of functional activities with repetition to improve memory, okay? I mean, that sounds, again, pretty basic for him, repetition to improve memory. He doesn't really mention, like, even though people with TBI can have problems with memory, this specific patient hasn't mentioned that. He has, you know, other difficulties. So that one's not really seeming to fit, okay? So the answer is B, okay? Increase self-awareness of behavior and performance with feedback from peers. Okay, so that's perfect for him, right? Because he's becoming easily frustrated. He's having some difficulty with reasoning and judgment, okay? that's perfect for the cognitive rehabilitation group. So so if you want, I mean, for learning purposes, A would be someone at a level 5, okay? So, I mean, think that's lower level. C would be for a level 9, because that's pretty tough, right? Like, C would be pretty tough. And then D would be, again, for, like, a level 5, okay? I don't know if you want to write that down or what, just for your reference.
It's good to compare them.
Right, and that's the other thing, you know, another strategy is, like, okay, what else could this be identifying, right? Like, what other level is this referring to, right? You could do that for the Allen-Cog levels and for Ranchos, right? Kind of divvying them up, seeing what fits with what. So, all right, so let's go on question 5. Okay, so anyone want to do this one? Do you want me to go over it? All right, well, I'll just go through it. You said myself, go over it, right?
I did, because the Rancho then, you know, now it gets into that confused, agitated, confused, inappropriate, not agitated, confused, appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, yeah.
It's a lot. And this one, you can see how this one, okay, so... we already see 7, 6, 5, and 4. It's like, oh boy, we sure got to know the differences, right? So
yeah.
One thing I want to say is do not get overwhelmed by seeing that, right? Because there are always, like I said, hints in the question that are going to help you find out. We're going to pull those out here, okay? So 52-year-old male in ALS, okay? The OT notes that the patient is only able to concentrate on the nightly news for a short period and confuses key details when asked who he had dinner with the previous evening. What level is he at? Okay. So this is what I want you to do, and this is what I want you to do in the test too, right? Level 4. Remember, level 4, I said the agitated, aggressive patient who's trying to hit their caregiver, right, during a bathing assessment, let's say. Can we see that type of person even watching the news at all? Probably not, right? That's just not going to happen. Okay. Next, level 5. The naked man running around the building looking for the door to go home. Can we see him sitting there watching the news even for a few minutes? Probably not, right? He's got other problems. He's trying to go home. Okay, so level 5 and 4, just we can't expect that. So now 7 and 6, okay? So now we're going to think about, what did I say about 7? 7 is new learning, right? 7's like that robotic new learning. You know, they're able to do quite a bit. So they probably would be able to have a bit more recollection of, you know, who they had dinner with the previous evening. So they'd probably be able to do a little bit more than this, right? So we're going to go with 6, okay? That sounds about right, okay?
Yeah.
So, and the answer is 6. So do you see how I thought through, like I pictured in my head what a level 4 looks like, what a level 5 looks like, to see does that actually fit, okay? All right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Question 6, the last question. Any ideas with this one? Anyone think they know the answer? This is a bit of a different one.
Oh, well, I can say what I thought.
tell me, please.
Well, okay, so functioning at level 3, localized response, according to Rancho, was the most useful pre-feeding technique, meaning that, you know, they're certainly not eating yet. And it's just, they're still just responding more. So anyway, so going through the answers, I thought D, because like the one, you know, small pieces of the patient's favorite foods, I mean, they might choke. Just strong smells. I mean, I guess, I don't know, somehow I thought that wasn't, you know,
right.
I don't know, the pre-feeding, I thought, well, the smells is okay, but then I thought D was just the best for getting them more ready.
Right.
Also,
no, I see what you're...
For graded stimulation of the patient's cranial nerves, but yeah, so anyway, I went...
Right. No, thank you so much for that. I mean, like, this one's tricky because, you know, it's got a few different, like, in a way, it's like, how do we differentiate these, right? Like, in a way, they all could work, right? Like, yeah, you did identify the choking hazard, which is legitimate. But so the answer here is B, okay? So,
is which?
So it's B. B as in boy.
Ah, okay.
Place items as strong smells. Okay, so this is where I'm going to show you like how to find those hints in the question, what we got to pick out. Okay, so pre-feeding techniques could provide for graded stimulation. Okay, so when we see that, okay, that means that we got to start. When you see graded stimulation, it's saying okay, there's levels of, I guess you could say, difficulty or levels of response that are required for certain types of stimuli, okay? So
right.
It kind of starts with, if you think about smells are the very beginning, okay? As far as when we grade an OT, right, we think of where can we start, what's like the beginning, we're trying to just, let's get them even at all interested in feeding, okay? So we're going to start with the strong smells under the patient's nose. Okay, so if you see here, graded stimulation, it's like, okay, we got to make it very, very straightforward for this person. We got to make it the easiest, right? What's the thing they're most likely to respond to, okay? So the other options, I haven't seen, so as far as, like, small pieces of their food of, in the front, that's like a choking hazard, right? But now, I mean, you could see the rubbing different flavorings of, you know, salt and sweet foods. That could be done. However, that would be like the next level up if you want to think of grading, okay? And then D is another level. So you want to think of, okay, smells is a good starting point, okay? So does that one make sense now that I've explained it, or are there still questions?
No, that makes sense.
Okay. Okay, so, well, we've gone through the questions. Now, I apologize if that was, like, super intense, and, like, I know I just cruise right along, but there's definitely a lot of content to cover. Any questions I can answer right now for a few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, for, this is Michelle. So, for level 4, right, for RLA, what kind of activities would the person be able to do? So my friend just hit the cut. I'm sorry, go ahead.
For, are you talking Allen cognitive levels or Rancho's now?
For Rancho's.
Okay, Rancho's level 4. Okay, sorry, go on. What could they do? Like, what could we do with them for OT?
Yeah, like what type of activities would we usually do with them? I know that my friend recently just took the test, and she said she had some type of a question where she was like, you know, the person was a level 4. What type of cooking activity would be best for them? So what
okay.
do you think would be?
Okay, so level 4, we're going to bring it back to, this is the agitated, aggressive patient with a TBI who's, you know, hitting their caregiver during the bathing and stuff, right? That's kind of my thing, right? We're thinking that. So, gosh, I'd be scared to bring them in the kitchen, right? Like, that's, yikes. So, that being said, I mean, it's got to be as simple as, I mean, I would say if they're all, like, if you got a bunch of, like, kitchen-related selections, I mean, gosh, like, whatever, like, for example, like, pouring a glass of orange juice, right? Or buttering a piece of toast. Notice how those are, like, very simple, one-step, short activities, because they will not attend for much more than seconds, right? So notice how, I mean, that's not much. You would not want to have them. I mean, definitely not making soup, probably not even making a sandwich. But, again, you want to choose, like, I mean, like, you know, if the answers are, like, you know, prepare a three-course meal, prepare, you know, soup and sandwich. I'm trying to think of what another one would be.
Let's say you've got that,
and then the third one is the cold sandwich, then, yeah, they'd make a cold sandwich before they do the other two. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, got it.
So, yeah, they definitely can't be doing much, so as far as that goes. So I don't know if that answered your question, so...
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So I can take, I mean, we're a little over time, but I'll take one more question if someone has one. Okay, well, guys, I hope that this helped you with understanding them a little bit more. And you can use some of the strategies we talked about for looking at questions, okay? I mean, if you feel like you want to know more of my strategies or more of my tips, I mean, like, this was just, like, a quick, you know, if you want to sign up for one of my tutoring sessions, we can go into this in great detail, and also in regards to maybe more specific questions you have or other content areas. So please, you know, reach out to me if you want to have more tutoring sessions. But otherwise, good luck with your studying, you guys. I hope that... Hope that it goes well for you, and this is going to be a lot, but you guys can do it, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Okay, bye, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.